So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
1 month down, 2+ months to go in the regular season for fantasy football. I'm fresh off my VEASAN appearance with Gil Alexander and going to piggyback off some of the things Gil and I talked about on VEASAN on Tuesday morning. We record this on October 1st, just past 12 noon Eastern time, 9 a.m. in the West. Thank you for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. It is free to you because it is paid for by Hooters, specifically originalhooters.com, and there are 11 restaurants in the greater Tampa Bay area. Some of those restaurants have been impacted by Hurricane Helene. So before you head out to one of those 11 restaurants in the greater Tampa Bay area, might want to make a phone call first to confirm that they're open or anything else that's going on, especially Tony's place, Tony Metzler, who plays in one of my leagues, big supporter of ours, store manager at John's Pass, with all the problems on the barrier islands, the coastal areas, the beach communities as a result of Hurricane Helene damage. We thank originalhooters.com, wish everybody in that family well, especially at the restaurants, involved with the restaurants impacted by the storm. They have been the presenting sponsor of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for the last 8 years. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com for your personal fantasy questions. On the next episode of the Todd Wright Toddcast, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Hurricane Helene and some personal thoughts based on some of the communities it wrecked where I grew up, in addition to some other football stuff we'll talk about. But I'm certainly not ignoring what has happened in my area. Personally, I'm fine. I was very fortunate for most of my adult life, post-college life in the Tampa Bay area. I have lived in Hillsborough County somewhere in Tampa. I had no flood damage. I never lost power. I was able to watch Paul Delgado on Fox 13, Dennis Phillips on ABC Action News, Bobby Deskins on Channel 10, meteorologists that I know that are so good at what they do and so trusted for these things. Listen to my friends Drew and John do storm coverage on 102.5 The Bone because I had power, I had internet, no water intrusion. I'm very grateful. So many others not as fortunate, and I feel for those people, whether I know them or they're just our neighbors. So I'll talk about that in the Todd Wright Toddcast. I want to stick to fantasy here because it's just a fantasy. It's our escape. It's a game we play. I enjoyed talking to Gil this morning on VEASAN. Not every week, but maybe every 2 weeks. I hope to appear and talk fantasy football and a little Survivor as well. I also have the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast via JoeBucksFan.com and separate platforms. Gil's first thing out of the gate today was the Rashee Rice injury and what it means for fantasy purposes. So let's take that first. I'm going to try to keep this podcast short. I have a golf tournament on Saturday and just a lot of things to do. And again, you can email me any of your fantasy questions at write.todd@yahoo.com. Rice going down is very significant for fantasy purposes a few ways. First of all, in the two leagues I commission, in the commission and in the coalition and in the foundation, both teams that are undefeated. We have one undefeated team, SD's team, and one league, and one team undefeated in the other league. Both had Rice to help get to 4-0. So now they have work to do, and they have to overcome that. McCaffrey owners are saying, yeah, welcome to the club. I'm sitting here fully invested in Cooper Kupp saying, welcome to our club. It happens. It's unfortunate from a personal standpoint. It happened to Rice, and unfortunate for the Chiefs in their effort to be the first to ever win three Super Bowls. First thing, fantasy standpoint, this should push Travis Kelce forward. And you even saw it within the same game against the Chargers. Because those, we have heard from people like Matthew Berry that one of the reasons why Rice was so productive this year and Kelce was not, was that Rice was running many of the same routes that Travis Kelce has traditionally run in the Chiefs offense. So if Rice isn't available to the Chiefs, it only stands to reason they go right back to using Kelce for those calls, for those packages, for those plays. And you even saw Kelce be more involved in that game against the Chargers. I am a Kelce owner. Yes, me, Mr. Anti-Mandatory Tight End, which is playing out exactly the way I thought it would 10 years ago when I removed it from my leagues. Tight ends are a wasteland. Please don't email me this week and say you have a tight end on bye and what do you think of the random tight end who scored a touchdown for Seattle? Not my problem. I've been telling you for 10 years, get out of leagues with mandatory tight ends, the leagues that don't have mandatory tight ends. I don't waste time with random dart throws at a position that cannot support mandatory tight ends in leagues. There is absolutely no law that says you have to play fantasy football with a mandatory tight end. You have to think differently. You have to make it more enjoyable. Okay, enough on that. So if you do wide receiver tight end flex to replace mandatory tight end, which I did 10 years ago, you can still play productive tight ends, and traditionally Kelce has been. And the hope now for Kelce owners is that he will be, albeit at the expense of a serious injury to Rashee Rice. For those like the leaders in my two leagues who used Rice to help get them there, first of all, you should have a capable replacement already on the bench. That's what the bench is for. I talked to Gil about this morning, and Gil even acknowledges it. It shouldn't just be a rush to the waiver wire. This is why you have a bench. And if you know how to maintain a bench and a roster, you have next man up. This is the way the Philadelphia Eagles build an organization. They have gone to more conference title games in the NFC than anybody in the 21st century. They know how to use a 53-man roster. You need to know how to use a fantasy roster. So when a productive player, a productive starter like this goes down, you can't immediately say, well, I got to find somebody on waivers. Who's on your bench? And why aren't you using your bench properly to simply say, okay, well, I have this player on my bench. The waivers is supposed to be able for you to get another option, but it's not the only option. You should have someone you can simply move from your team to replace Rice in your lineup, and many of you do. And then you go to waivers, and you get someone else on your bench. You hope the player you move from the bench up does well for you. And if not, then you make a change in your lineup the next week. Some potential guys just scanning the Yahoo percentages who may be available and also reading Fantasy Life. And guys, some I own, some I'm interested in. Here are just some names for those of you looking to replace Rice on your team as an option at that position going forward. In no particular order, one of these guys may be available. Hopefully more of them, and you can put in multiple claims. Mooney, Atlanta. Wicks, Green Bay. Deontay Johnson and or Leggett, Carolina. Thomas, Jaguars. And I still think, maybe I'm just being too stubborn here, Jennings is going to maintain his value despite the return of Deebo Samuel and George Kittle in San Francisco. And let's talk about Jennings for a minute. I played Jennings this past week. It was a tough call, but I thought he had an enormous week three. They gave him a contract extension before this year. They believe in him. He had a productive Super Bowl. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch clearly liked this guy. He didn't have the game in week four he had in week three. He may never have that good of a game again. It was such a high bar. But he still had three catches for what? 80 plus yards. Two of them were big chunks. Right now, Jennings looks more the big play receiver than Ayuk. And Ayuk has had some issues in practice, wearing the wrong color shorts. He's been paid. It just doesn't feel right yet with Ayuk. With Jennings, it feels better. So I don't know if I'll play Jennings again this week. Actually, the Niners have a very winnable game this week, so maybe I do. I think they do. But Jennings is still available in some leagues, or in some leagues, people may have used him and then immediately cut him once Deebo came back. You get these knee-jerk cuts. I told Gil about how somebody cut McLaurin after 2 weeks in one of my leagues. Somebody cut George Pickens after one of my leagues. Hell, I cut Pickens the next week and replaced him with Deontay Johnson. It happens. So anyway, there's a handful there of receivers. One or more of them may be available for you to replace Rice on your roster, but you should have had an option on to also potentially replace Rice in the starting lineup. Buys this week: Lions, Chargers, Eagles, Titans. Okay, so that's primarily you got to sit Saquon Barkley this week. It's another week for AJ and Devontae to get healthy for Philly. Dallas Goedert is the most productive tight end according to my scoring settings, and that ain't saying much. I believe Goddard is number 90 overall among all players in my leagues, and I reduce points for kickers. Brandon Aubrey may be outscoring Goddard in leagues where he gets the bonuses for the long field goals. I don't do that in my leagues. Every field goal is worth three. Every extra point is worth one. That's it. Just like the game you watch. Chargers, Dobbins' production is down. Johnson is still a red zone target, but that's not sustainable. He might be another guy you pick up, though, but probably not this week because you can't play him. But if you have someone else to play and you're just looking for another wide receiver, he might be there for you. Just know you can't use him this week, but he can sit on your bench and be available for weeks down the road. Lions off. So that's Gibbs sitting, Montgomery sitting, Goff off his perfect game sitting. If you're playing Goff, fringe QB1, probably not a starting quarterback in through 4 weeks. Amon-Ra St. Brown got you a passing touchdown the other night on a play Detroit calls Alcatraz, by the way. So if you're like, ooh, that's Philly special. Well, it wasn't, and the name of it's Alcatraz. And Goff actually did take the original snap. On Philly special, Foles didn't take the snap in Super Bowl 52. Let's see. Jameson Williams had another big play touchdown. Laporta got involved somewhat for Detroit. So there's all those guys are not available. And then for the Titans, Ridley, Spears, Pollard all sit this week. I don't imagine you've been starting many of them. Hopkins. Here's how bad the Dolphins are. The Titans lined up to run a direct snap play, I believe, to Spears. And it's one of those that relies on, hey, we're snapping it to Spears directly, not to a quarterback. So it's part of the isn't as prepared for the look. The Titans ran out of time to run the play, called timeout, then went out, ran the same play. So the Dolphins had time to prepare for it. Titans said, we're going to run it anyway, and Dolphins still couldn't stop it. That's bad. The Dolphins are bad. It almost feels like that team has given up. And losing Tua is obviously the main reason, but that's not a very professional atmosphere from Coach Kuhl to let your team basically mail it in when at least your front office went out and got you Huntley to try to do something. That's why I have my doubts about McDaniel long term. I understand his brilliance offensively and as a play caller and some of the things he can dial up, but you got to do a lot of other things successfully as a head coach, and I don't think he knows how to keep a team's attention and maintain a room and have a proper professional football culture because he's responsible for everybody. So those are the four teams that are off. What else can we do quickly here as it relates to active fantasy news? We've talked about the Rice thing, how it impacts Kelsey, other potential wide receivers who are available. Trying to think of anything else I can squeeze into this podcast from a fantasy standpoint. What else did Gil bring up? We talk about Thomas with the Jaguars. Bye weeks. Hang with me here. I just want to get one more. Because the minute I stop doing this podcast, I'm going to be like, well, why didn't you talk about that? Keep checking status on Richardson and Taylor for the Colts this week. If you need a contingency plan on Richardson, Flacco's not a bad one. Because if Richardson doesn't play, Flacco's going to play. And I promise you, Flacco's going to throw some touchdowns. And the Colts are probably going to win. Because Flacco's good. I've said all along, the Colts are going to go once Flacco gets in there. And seeing Richardson get hurt, not a surprise. I hope it's not serious. But that's kind of what he's known for right now. Sad, but it is. He's getting also known for being a very inaccurate quarterback. And people who watched him at the University of Florida said the same thing. Why does he need to throw a short pass at 500 miles an hour? It just leads to it being tougher to catch, whether it's on target, and often it's not. Let's talk Kamara a little bit. In my scoring settings, he is the number one point producer in fantasy football. Number one. He's touched the ball 97 times. And how about this? This past week, the Saints had multiple pass catchers, Olave and Shaheed, reel in a number of balls. Taysom Hill had two rushing touchdowns. He's still the number one producer in fantasy football. His six touchdowns, 97 touches of the ball, and his combined yardage is almost as much as the top three running backs drafted in fantasy drafts combined so far this year. McCaffrey, Breece Hall, told you about Breece Hall, overvalued, Bijan Robinson. So Kamara owners who drafted him as sort of an RB2, a hopeful RB2, what a return on investment you have received. Well done. Is Kamara someone you can sell high? You can. Look, in 6 weeks, I don't think we'll be talking about Kamara as the number one overall player in fantasy football. But barring injury, I don't see a huge drop off. The Saints have some really good people up front on the offensive line. One was hurt for week four. But if you want to sell high, go ahead. But make sure you get a lot in return. In the meantime, just keep playing him. Because you are getting a great return on your investment. Because you probably got Kamara in, I don't know, fourth, fifth, sixth round in your drafts, depending on if it was a 10, 12, 14 team league. All right, that's enough for me for today, and I'll answer all your personal fantasy questions at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks to Gil and Kelly at VEASAN for having me on. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time.